Okay. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody. See if I can see my laptop. That would be nice. We have a new slide deck. Good. So, what I want to do tonight is to do something that I think hopefully will be of interest to the whole group in attendance tonight. We have the young folks with us as well as the old folks and the in-between ages. So I want to talk about let me get my computer oriented. I'm going to talk about the topic of the beginning, in the beginning, basically starting with the first verse of the Bible. Okay, if you're going to study the Bible, it's a good thing to have studied the first verse in it, right? We're going to talk about it in, you know, just really kind of what are the implications of what happened in the beginning. You know, the first three words in the Bible are in the beginning, right? And that sets the Bible apart from every other religious book ever, you know, of ancient times ever written. Because of all the ancient religions, only the Bible talked about the beginning. All these other religions thought, well, it's always been here. They didn't even think about, you know, did it begin? Was there a beginning? The Bible starts right out, right in your face. There's a beginning. Let me tell you what happened then. There was a beginning. And that ought to give you a lot of faith in the Bible, because as we know now, scientists have fairly, I don't know, think there's a serious scientist anywhere who doesn't believe that there was a beginning. That wasn't true 100 years ago. There's been a lot learned in the last 100 years. One of the simplest ways to rationalize it in your own mind is the sun hasn't been there forever. How do I know that? If it had been, it would have burned up, right? You know, what happens if you get in your car and you drive and you drive and you drive and you drive? You run out of fuel, right? So that would have happened to the sun if it had been there forever. It's not burned out yet. It's a big nuclear fusion reactor. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But because of that, it hasn't burned out because it hasn't been around. It had a beginning. Okay, in the beginning, a very profound concept to open the Bible. Now let's stop and have a prayer a minute before we go any further. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We're thankful for the chance to talk about it tonight. Father, we're thankful for your power. We're thankful for the great creation that you've put around us. We're thankful that you've given us the opportunity to know you and that you've made yourself clear through that creation. Father, help us to have our minds expanded, to help us have a bigger picture of you and to better understand your glory and your majesty from looking at your creation. Father, we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the beginning, and the next part of that verse says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, if you're going to write a book, you want to start out with a really gripping sentence, something that really grabs you. This is the epitome of that writing style, right? There's never been a more profound sentence written. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything else that exists depends on that statement. That affects everything. That means that, you know, you're reading this book, you pick it up and you say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whoa. I mean, I need to know something more about this God. Let me understand a little bit more about what he created. Let me understand the meaning of this. This is big. In the beginning, God created a bunch of stuff. This is where it all came from. And, you know, we could go on reading, you know, the subsequent parts of chapter 1 and talk about day 1 and day 2 and what he made in different days. But, you know, there's a couple of verses that come before day 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we don't know how long it was between that and separating the light from the darkness and having, day 1. We don't really know how long that was. But I'm not going to go into that. That's all I'm going to say about that today. But the point is that there was a beginning, and in that beginning, God created everything you see. Because he created it, he owns it, right? He created it, he can destroy it. You know, if you bake a cake, you can eat it if you want, right? If you don't like it, you can throw it away, right? You can do anything you want to with it because you made it. Okay? God created the heavens and the earth. It's His. He created it because He wanted something. He created it for His own purposes, right? And he owns it. He rules it. He is King and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He created a kingdom in it. You know, we can, all that stuff is subsequent to the first verse, which says, "In the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth." Okay, so let's stretch our minds. Let's think about, what is this thing He created? How big is God, and how big is this creation that He made? You know, you see this picture here that's got the, you know, the stars and the, you know, we're really blessed that we can get some pictures that, you know, the writers of the Bible and the, you know, the first, you know, the early Christians and all those people back then didn't get a chance to see. But all it ought to do is to increase your faith and your awe of the God who made it. Let's stretch our minds. Okay. So, let's talk about this earth that He created. He created the heavens and the earth, but we'll start with the earth. Yeah, and that's an amazing shot, don't you think? You know, God created some amazing things. You know, beauty. What is beauty? Why is that beautiful? You know, it's not just light at certain frequencies, you know, that we get to see. We happen to like, you know. What makes that beautiful? God created beauty. God created, but He created the things that are in that picture. You know, think about these trees. You know what amazes me as an engineer by training? What amazes me about a tree? A tree came from a seed, didn't it? Where did that seed come from? Another tree. And where did that tree come from? How many times did a seed come from a tree to produce a seed, to produce a tree? How many times did that have to happen to produce the trees you see in that picture? How many times? And you think about it, it still works. I'm an engineer. I have a hard time making the best engineers we've got have a hard time making a car that'll last 10 years. How many years has this been going on? I mean, God is an awesome engineer, all right? Yeah, he made some amazing things. But, you know, it's not just the trees and, you know, the grass and the flowers and the other plants here. I mean, you got the mountains back there. You know, I mean, spectacular, huge mountains. And, you know, if you ever go and try to climb up those things, you realize that they're big and we're small, right? You know, it will make you realize your frailty and your smallness. But then there's all the wildlife. You know, you see the snow up on the mountains and the snow melt filling up the lake down here where the fish can live and all the, you know, other life that's supported around the lake and the animals that are supported by this whole ecosystem. I mean, it all fits together. The air, you know, the sky, the blue sky. And by the way, why is it blue? You know, God figured that out, you know. We could talk about that. But God made some amazing things, okay? This is an amazing world that God created, okay? So let's take another look at the world, okay? I love these NASA pictures, you know, of the blue marble, right? So I'm going to try, let's see if I can do it this way so that y'all can hear me and I can see what I'm pointing to. So here we have North America, right? This is a shot taken from the Apollo program. And you got the moon over here off in the distance. And you got the earth here. You see Florida? Okay. So we would be somewhere right up around there, I think, approximately. If I can't hold it very still. So can you see the Georgia Dome there? You know, Georgia Dome's pretty big, isn't it? But, you know, I can't really see it. This picture was it may not have been there at the time. This picture was probably taken in 69 or 70, back when they were actually flying to the moon and places like that. But, you know, at that time, I was over here in eastern North Carolina, so I was under this cloud, so that's why you can't see me, okay? But, you know, you think about it. All right, if we're right up in here, and my mom lives over here about the end, under that cloud, it takes 8 hours for us to drive from here to my mom. So just to give you sort of a little perspective here, how long it takes to drive from here to here, that's a pretty big, I mean, that's a long, it seems like a long ways when we're driving, you know. We stop several times to go to the bathroom, we stop for food, you know, I mean, that's a long trip. We're tired when we get there, you know. If you've ever driven down to Miami from here, it's maybe even a little bit further. You know, some of you guys have driven that a lot of times. This is a, you know, it's a big world. Now, how big? So you can give the next one. And, you know, it's about 24,000 miles around the equator. Okay, 24,000 miles. Now, and you know the Earth is spinning around on its axis, right? And it does that once every how often? 24 hours, right? So, 24,000 miles in 24 hours. So that's 1,000 miles an hour, isn't it? You know, that's not complicated math. So, 1,000 miles an hour. So if you're standing on the equator, just minding your own business, not going anywhere, you're traveling at 1,000 miles an hour, going around the, you know, trying to get to tomorrow, okay? Now, that's not even to talk about the fact that, meanwhile, that Earth is also revolving around the sun once a year, which comes out to moving at a clip of about 18.5 miles per second. 18.5 miles. So you're moving at around 18.5 miles per second. How many miles have you been moving since I got up here and started talking? You guys are fast. You're moving. You're going places. Okay? So that's that, you know, but this is a big Earth. You know, it's 24,000 miles across. And there's a lot of amazing things on this Earth. And no matter how hard you try, you'll never get to see them all. You know, oh well. All right, next one. All right. Meanwhile, there are bigger things. The Earth is big. There are bigger things. This is the sun, okay? And, you know, God said, you know, let there be light. And there was light. There's a lot of light coming out of this thing, right? It's 93 million miles away, and yet it warms us up, doesn't it? Especially in the summertime, right? It's the light that leaves the sun arrives on the Earth. It takes about 8.5 minutes to get here. Think about that. You know, you flip on the light switch, you don't expect it to have to wait for that light to get from there to here, right? It's instantaneous, as far as we can tell. It's moving really fast. Light moves fast, but it takes 8.5 minutes to get here from the sun. So that's a long ways away. That's kind of what the point we get out of that. But this big old ball of fire, you can click again. At the center of it, it's about 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. That's really, really hot. So you don't want to get too close. Okay, we're at 93 million miles is about right. Okay, God got that right. You know, very merciful of him to do that. Okay, but you know, this is a, so it's a giant nuclear furnace. Okay, a nuclear reactor. It's basically a fusion reactor because you've got all this hydrogen that's fusing into helium, converting some of the mass into energy, and a little bit of mass makes a lot of energy. We kind of learned that, you know, back in the nuclear programs in the 40s. So basically what you've got here is a giant nuclear furnace sending out light, sending out heat, sending out other kinds of energy all around it. And we get a little small part of that on our 24,000-mile circumference ball, the little blue marble that we live on. Okay? All right, let's talk a little bit more about the sun next. All right, so how big is the sun? Let's just get at some proportions here. If the sun was a basketball, the Earth would be 2.2 millimeters. So let's talk about that a couple of different ways. You could take 100 Earths and line them up side by side in front of the sun. Okay, 100 times as wide as the Earth. You could take 100 Earths, you know, top to bottom, right? And if you could bore a hole through the center of the sun, you could put 100 Earths side by side through the center of the sun. So those of you who remember your high school geometry, that means it's 100 times 100 times 100. Or 1 million times bigger than the Earth. You could fit 100 Earths inside this. I mean, a million Earths. Let me get it right. You could get 1 million Earths inside the sun. So it's pretty big. In the beginning, God created that, and He said, "Let there be light," and there it was. And it was this nuclear furnace, you know, and it was doing what it does, and it's still doing it. Another example that just amazes the engineer in me. It still works. You know, it hasn't stopped working. It's really amazing. Now, at this point, I'm going to need two, let's just say elementary school age volunteers. Somebody really quick. Okay, here's one right here. Okay. I will take both of you. Come on up. We got two of them. They were right there. All right, come on up. Let's have a hand for our two volunteers. Okay. Two big stars. All right, can you tell us your name, please?
Noel.
Noel. And your name?
Danielle.
Noel and Danielle. All right. Now, you two are going to be our astronomers here in this little experiment. Okay? I have two things here in the bag. This is the sun. Okay? Okay, you can be the sun. And to try to keep it proportional, you wouldn't be able to see this at all if I didn't. There's a dot on this piece of paper. Y'all can confirm that. You see the dot? Okay. So we have a dot and we have a sun. Now, what I need you to do, let's stand right about here, and I'm going to try to pace this off a little bit. Let's see if I can do it. I'm going to try to do about 15 paces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oops. Okay, bring the earth over here, and I'll just move her a little further. Okay? Now you can stand right there, and let's see if I can get another 5 steps out of this. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Okay, well, come on over here. It's going to be a little hot today over there on earth. Okay? A little too close. All right? Okay. So here we have the sun, and here we have the earth. Hold that earth up so everybody can see how big it is. That's 24,000 miles around it. Right? Can you see me on there? I'm right there in Georgia, right in Gwinnett County. You see me? Okay. And there's the sun. It's actually nighttime right now, but oh well. Not in our example. All right. Now we're going to try one other thing. Now if you would take the sun, see if you can get in the middle of the auditorium out there. So go ahead and go take it down the steps and go out there into the middle of the auditorium. All right. Back out there, where Mr. Todd is, and the next row behind him, you can probably walk down there to the middle, okay? And then what I want you to do, you're going to get to do some walking around. So this, we're gonna shrink this down a little bit. So if you'll go down and come down here to where Mr. John is, okay? All right. Now what we're going to do is we're going to simulate a year, and we're not going to take a year to do it. Okay. Now you can stand right there, and in real life, she would be moving at 18 and a half miles per second. But we're going to do this slow. All right? So walk about four rows back. And right now it's February. So now it's about March. Okay? Now keep going. That's a good speed. Keep going. Okay, that was March. Now we're getting a little farther. It's about April. And then we'll see May. She's doing great. Now, be careful with that earth. We don't want it to have an earthquake now. Okay. Now, come across the back and go out to the back towards Mr. Carl. And meanwhile, you be careful with the sun there in the middle. Hold it up so everybody can see it. But be careful because it's hot. Don't burn yourself on it. Remember, 27 million degrees. Okay. So you can come on down here. We must be getting to be about September or so, I don't know. I don't know what month we are. We're getting closer. But she's flying around here at 18 and a half miles per second. The sun is sitting over there at 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. And now she's coming around, and this must be the end of the year. And she's got to get up back here, so it can be February. And hooray, we've made it. It's 2016. Happy New Year. Okay, y'all can bring me the props. You did a great job. You can bring me the sun. All right. So we have a solar system that we have talked about. Great job. Thank you very much. Okay. So, all right, so that was the sun. Let's go on. There's more. We are just getting started. Okay? There we go. Now, that was the Earth going around the sun, 93 million miles away from it. But, you know, now we're out way past that. We're a lot farther. That little light right there, that's the sun. Of course, this is just an artist's conception, but it's fairly realistic, we think. But there's a, you know, you've got the planets. Back when I went to school, the last planet was Pluto. It was Neptune and then Pluto. Nowadays, somebody has decided that, no, it's Pluto, then Neptune. You know, I don't know how they got that one wrong, but, you know, and I don't even know which one's right. I just know that they, you know, seems like the planets didn't swap. I don't know, maybe they did. But anyway, actually, I think that it has something to do with orbits that are not really circles and different distances. I don't know. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. So, but anyway, okay, this is an object called Sedna, which is beyond Pluto, and I presume also beyond Neptune, whichever theory you ascribe to. But the idea here is we're looking back. So the Earth is one of these little tiny, I don't know, maybe that's, you know, Mercury, Venus, Earth, somewhere around there, you know. And we're way out here. So this all this 93 million miles stuff and all that, we're still getting light and heat from the sun. You can see it's being illuminated here, but not nearly as much. It's kind of cold out here. Okay, it probably wouldn't be a very nice place to live. All right? So next. All right? And then, well, now we're going to look at some things that go outside. So that was the solar system. Let's now talk about the Milky Way. All right? The Milky Way is a galaxy. We are part of the Milky Way galaxy. We actually live on the edge of it. So we have an opportunity, which we have done, to send a spaceship outside of the Milky Way and take a picture looking back, and that's what he got. Okay? Kind of looks like a spaceship, doesn't it? Okay? But that's what it looks like on its edge. That's kind of the edge of the Milky Way. They say there is an estimated 200 to 400 billion with a B, stars in the Milky Way. In the beginning, God created that. You know, 200, 400 billion. Now remember, the sun is a star, right? And it's big enough to hold a million Earths. It's actually smaller than average star. All right? So, but we'll just call it average. So let's just say you have 200 to 400 billion stars, each of which could hold a million Earths. All right? Pretty big, right? And that's not even talking about how far apart they are from each other. It's huge spaces in between them. I mean, 200 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, and they say that the Milky Way galaxy is at least 70,000 light years across. Let me talk about that for a minute. Light years. Remember we said that the light from the sun takes 8.5 minutes to get to Earth? It takes 70,000 years for light to get from one side of the Milky Way to the other. 70,000 years for a beam of light to travel that far. That's how big the Milky Way galaxy is. It is beyond comprehension. It is very, very big. Okay, next. Here is a picture of another galaxy called NGC 4414. They say that it's a twin of the Milky Way, but we can see it on its edge. I mean, not on its edge, but from the top. So they think that's what the Milky Way would look like if you're looking down on the top instead of looking at the edge. Okay, a spiral galaxy. All right, but that's another galaxy. You know, more or less the same, you know, 200, 400 billion stars, all of them big enough to hold a million Earths. So there's another galaxy, all right? Next. Okay, here's a very famous picture. See all those stars up there? Some of them are different colors. Some of them even seem to be different shapes, right? And that's kind of amazing, you know. This was a picture taken by the Hubble telescope. They pointed it away from the Milky Way, towards the edge that we're on, so that we'd be looking away from the Milky Way, so they could see as far as possible into a dark spot in the sky. And that's what they saw. And the spot they were looking at, imagine this. I've done this before. You take a Cheerio. You've got a box of Cheerios. You know what Cheerios are, right? Imagine you've got one Cheerio in your fingers. Hold it out at arm's length and look through the hole. That's about the size of the spot in the sky that we're looking at in this picture. Okay? Now, click. But those aren't stars. Those are galaxies. Those are galaxies. You can back up one. We'll stay there for a minute. So they say there are, in this picture, there are 10,000 galaxies in this, what they call the Hubble Deep Field photograph. Okay? 10,000 galaxies in that spot the size of the hole in your Cheerios. Okay? 10,000 galaxies. Now, what's a galaxy? If it's like Milky Way, it's like 200 to 400 billion stars. Each one of them big enough to hold a million Earths. Okay? 10,000 of those in this little tiny spot. So, you know, if you take your Cheerio and you move it over a little bit, there's another spot. There's another spot. So another 10,000 galaxies. How many galaxies are out there? How many stars are out there? How big is this heavens and earth that God created in the beginning? How big is it? Okay, next. Back there. Okay, this is looking closer at that same picture. And what you see when you zoom in, these are some, somebody's going there and put some little green circles around some red dots. Okay, those are like red galaxies, all right? Now, why do you suppose they're red? Actually, they're just being born, okay? But let's talk about that for a minute. Those, you ever heard of the Doppler effect? You ever heard a train, you know, coming towards you and it's blaring its horn, it goes, as it goes past you, the pitch goes down, doesn't it? Okay? Same thing happens with light. When the light is going away from you fast enough, the frequency goes down. And instead of being yellow light or white light, it becomes red light. Okay? These are, and so by how they can calculate, number one, how fast they're moving away from you. And based on some other smart people figuring it out, they can figure out, therefore, how far away it is. The things that are farthest away from us are moving the fastest. It's accelerated growing of the universe, basically. So, without getting any more technical than that, these red ones, they tell us, are 13 billion light years away. That means that the light leaving those red spots reached the Hubble telescope when it made this picture. It took them 13 billion years for the light to get here from there. So you're looking back in history 13 billion years ago. Isn't that amazing? 13 billion years ago. This is the creation of a galaxy. You know? We still don't know how God did it, you know? But, you know, and then, you know, it's just an amazing thing. You think about, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How big is the God who made all of that? How powerful is the God who made all of that? How eternal is the God who made all of that? You know, you think about, when we talk about, you know, we're in the kingdom of God, that's whose kingdom we're in. Okay? So, okay, next. So, well, before we do that, let me get you to look at Psalms chapter 8. We're going to do this one. I'm going to put my microphone down for a minute. All right, Psalms 8, starting in verse 3. He says, and this is a psalm of David. He says, when I consider your heavens, this is David. He was a shepherd. He looked at the sky a lot, I guess, right? I would think out there in the fields with these shepherds at night, with these sheep at night. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You know, you think about, when you think about how big creation is, and you think about God having created all of that, it's amazing that he cares anything for you and me. You know, who am I? You know, who am I to get indignant with God because of something that I don't like? You know, who am I to complain to God? Who am I to expect anything from God? And yet, God's made some spectacular promises to us. So among the many other amazing things about God, God is compassionate, God loves, God knows the hairs on your head, or even if you don't have hairs, he knows that too, right? So God knows all of that. All right, next slide. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. With all the things we can see now, a lot more than David could see, right? We've seen a lot. I mean, he didn't see he didn't have a Hubble telescope. But we have even less excuse, don't we? You know, we see the amazing things God has created. I mean, it just has to blow your mind. You know, you fall down on your face before God. Okay, next. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 3. There's a song about this. It goes by this psalm, which is, I mean, that's what it is. It's a psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. You look at all of that, you have to, you draw dots in just awe at who God is. Okay, next. And Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Think about it. What is too hard for the God that made all of that? Nothing is too hard for God. Okay? He's, you know, so next slide. If God can do all that, how hard can it be to part the Red Sea? I mean, the Red Sea, a little tiny drop of water on that little tiny dot that was standing over here across the stage from the sun. You know, in this huge universe that he's created, it's child's play for God to part the Red Sea, to calm a storm. I mean, he made everything that makes up the storm. Of course he can change that. He can calm it. How hard would it be for Jesus to walk on water? You know, he made the water. You know, he can change the rules if he wants, you know. How hard would it be for him to take care of you and me? Okay. You know, what's going on in your life that you need God's help with? Do you really believe he can help you? You know, of course he can help you. He can do all that. There's no contest, no question about it. Okay. So we have, you know, that's who we're talking about when we say your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay. And, you know, thank God that he cares about us, that he brings us into his kingdom, that he wants to bless us, that he loves us. You know, it's one thing to have a God or a king or a creator like that if you don't really know him and you're kind of afraid of what he might do. It's quite another thing when you know him, when he's your dad, when he's taken care of you, when he's made spectacular promises to you. You know, why would we not want to have a relationship with that kind of a God? So that's it for tonight. I would say go pick up your kids, but you already have them. So follow the rules, have great fellowship, and we will commence on Sunday.